लीलाविधाता स्वैरम् ईश्वरस्यात्ममायया अथाख्या हि हरेर्धीमन् अवतार कथा शुभा लीला
अथा
देयरफॉर
आख्याहि
डिस्क्राइब
हरे
ऑफ द लॉर्ड
धीमन
ओ सगेशियस वन अवतार इनकार्नेशन कथा नरेटिव शुभ ऑस्पिशियस लीला एडवेंचर्स विदाधात परफॉर्म स्वैरम पास्ट टाइम्स ईश्वरस्य ऑफ द सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर आत्मा पर्सनल मायाया एनर्जीज Translation. O wise Sutta,
please narrate to us
the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godheads
multi-incarnations.
Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord,
the Supreme Controller,
are performed by his internal powers. O Vaisuta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal powers. Purport. For the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material worlds, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Himself appears in many thousands of forms and incarnations, and the specific adventures found in those transcendental forms are all auspicious. Both those who are present during such activities and those who hear the transcendental narrations of such activities, both are benefited. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी हरे कृष्ण O Vaisuta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers. So, we have commenced yet another journey of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anirudh Prabhu was telling the other day that probably this is the fourth iteration. Thrice we have completed the cycle of Srimad Bhagavatam and this is the fourth iteration. So it's very auspicious and Srimad Bhagavatam itself is very auspicious. So till now, what has happened in the last 17 verses very quickly is the Srimad Bhagavatam started with the verse Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadasya Yataha. So this verse is called as the Mangalacharan. Mangalacharan is that verse which invokes auspiciousness. So but Mangalacharan has got three aspects. One is called as Vastu Nirdesh, which is the goal, the prayojana of all study. The second component is called as Namaskar, which is paying obeisances, and the third component is called as Ashirvad, which is blessings. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse and the second verse together, they bring about Vastu Nirdesh. They very clearly say what is the goal. Param Satyam Dhimahi. The goal of studying Srimad Bhagavatam is to understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to understand that Lord Krishna is a person. He is not an impersonal God. He is very much personal. So that's the goal of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And devotional service unto His lotus feet is the supreme goal of human existence. So that is the Vastu Nirdesh. Namaskar is also offered. Obeisances are offered. By saying Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I offer my obeisances unto the son of Devaki. So there is Namaskar and then there is Ashirvad also. In the second verse where it talks about Dharma Projito Kaitava. So it talks about cheating religion versus real religion. Towards the end it is said that anyone who studies Srimad Bhagavatam, definitely so the love for Krishna will be manifested in such person's heart. So this is Ashirvad. So we see all these three aspects. So this is what happened in the first two verses. And then, having defined what is true religion and what is cheating religion, the Bhagavatam then moves on to the next verse which talks about the fact that Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedas. So Srimad Vedanta Sutra is the essence of all the Vedas and Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedanta Sutra. Right, and it also says that this Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more sweeter because it has been spoken by the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, who is none other than the parrot of Radharani in the spiritual world. So just like a fruit which is bitten by a parrot tastes even more sweeter, so Sukadeva Goswami has spoken this, Sukamukha Amritam Dravya Samyutam, Srimad Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So this verse says that it is the ripened fruit of all scriptures. Then it again moves on to glorify the speaker Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam has got two aspects, the book Bhagavatam and the speaker Bhagavatam. So it glorifies the speaker Bhagavatam. First it glorifies the Bhagavatam. It says that Bhagavatam, you know, talks about real religion and it is the highest of the scriptures. And then it talks about, it glorifies the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. So this sages at Naimisharanya are seated and Suta Goswami has now entered the arena and Suta Goswami is about to speak this great scripture. So it is mentioned how the sages treat the person Bhagavata with lot of respect by first offering him an esteemed seat above themselves and then glorifying the submissive qualities of Suta Goswami, which is the quality of any Bhagavatam speaker. So it sets the standards for anyone who speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. So the person who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam has to demonstrate submissive qualities and also has to be in disciplic succession. So the sages at Naimisharanya are glorifying Suta Goswami. You heard it through the mouth of the great Sukadeva Goswami. Now you please narrate it to us. So that's the way that Srimad Bhagavatam is transferred. It is called as Avaroha Pantha, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in Ishopanishad. In the first verse, Prabhupada says that the way that we must understand any scriptural knowledge is by avarohanam, not by arohanam. Arohanam means the ascending process. Avarohanam means the descending process. Right? And then the sages go on to mention to Sukadeva Goswami, to Suta Goswami, that this Kali Yuga is highly degraded now. And we can already see the effect of Kali Yuga. ಪ್ರಾಯಣ ಅಲ್ಪ ಆಯುಷ ಸಭ್ಯ ಕಲೋ ಅಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಯುಗೇ ಜನ ಮಂದ ಸುಮಂದಮತಯ ಮಂದ ಭಾಗ್ಯ ಹಿ ಉಪದ್ರೋತ. ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಲೇಜಿ, ಮಿಸ್ಗೈಡೆಡ್, ಅನ್ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್. ಎವ್ರಿಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ. ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ದೆನ್ ದೇ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ತ್ರೀ ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸುತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ. ತ್ರೀ ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್ ಅಪ್ ಅಂಟಿಲ್ ನೌ, ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮ್ ಮೋರ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿಲ್ ಫಾಲೋ. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆಸ್ಕ್, ದ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ಇಸ್, ದೇ ಸೇ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಅಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಏಕಾಂತ ಶ್ರೇಯ, ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಗುಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ mankind. So they didn't ask any sectarian good. They didn't say, okay, what is good for the people of Palestine, or what is the good for the people of, you know, people who are staying on the other side of the Kashmir border. No, they said, what is the ultimate good for mankind in general, which means the knowledge which Suta Goswami is going to give here transcends all barriers of religion and castes and races and even species. So it is so powerful. Then they ask Suta Goswami, please tell us the duty. Or what is our duty and what is the essence of all the scriptures? Give us the ultimate essence. What do all the scriptures lead to? What is that point? And then they ask a third question. Please explain to us the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about Him, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, and please also tell us about all His incarnations. And in verse 15, after asking these questions, they once again glorify the person Bhagavata. They say that that people know that taking bath in the Ganges is very auspicious and it can remove the sins. But the sages are saying, but for the Ganges to remove our sins, we have to repeatedly take bath in the Ganges for a prolonged use, for a prolonged period of time. Whereas, simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a realized devotee, in 1 second, one shun, we can realize the absolute truth. So, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is much, much more powerful than going and taking a dip in the Ganges. So, even when we go to the holy places, they are establishing this standard that do not run to Radha Kund, do not run here and there just to take a bath. But when we go for a pilgrimage, the first and foremost duty is to hear from the sages. There is no point in missing a class and then going and taking bath in a holy river, because such a pilgrimage is known as the pilgrimage for asses and cows. Srimad Bhagavatam says that. So, it has to be from the ears. So, the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, whether you are in the Holy Dham or regardless of if you are not there in the Holy Dham, even more important if we are not there in the Holy Dham, that is stressed here in these verses. So, in Canto 7, we see that when Prahlad Maharaj is being sent by Hiranyakashipu to his teachers, Shanda and Amarka, so one day Hiranyakashipu comes and takes Prahlad on his lap and he licks Prahlad Maharaj's head. And then he asks Prahlad, my dear Prahlad, please tell me, what did you hear? What did you understand by hearing everything, by all your studies? What is the perfection of all knowledge? Please explain to me. So Prahlad Maharaj says, the perfection of knowledge is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Pada Sevanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. So he is explaining the Navaveda Bhakti. He says, this Navaveda Bhakti, if we understand this is the goal of life, then that is the perfection of all knowledge. Now, Hiranyakashipu obviously gets very upset with that, and there is a whole pastime around that later on. But the point here to be noted is, Prahlad Maharaj starts the Navaveda Bhakti with the word Shravanam. So that is, from there, it is very clearly indicated that Shravanam is the most important. Yes, we do understand many times the chanting is the most important. But chanting could not have happened if we wouldn't have heard about Lord. So first, always, bhakti starts by hearing. Right. So that's the major point here. So there are many aspects to Shravanam, and Shravanam is both a science as well as an art. And Shravanam is guided by certain principles, and these principles are enunciated at various stages in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The first aspect of Shravanam is the subject matter of hearing. Shravanam about what? So there are many matters for hearing. In fact, there is a verse also. There are many matters for hearing. The sages are asking. So which is the topmost hearing? So subject matter of hearing must be about Krishna and must be about his devotees. That is the highest subject matter of hearing. Therefore, the verse is given, Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna. Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna. ಪುಣ್ಯ ಶ್ರವಣ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಹೃದಯಂತ ಸ್ತೋಹಿ ಅಭದ್ರಾಣಿ ವಿಧುನೋತಿ ಸುರತ್ ಸತಂ. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ವೆನ್ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್, ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ಸಮ್ ಟು ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಟೇಕನ್ ಅವೇ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಅನ್ ಇರ್ರಿವೋಕಬಲ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ದ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಅಟ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡೇ ಮಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿ ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ರಾಗನುಕ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಈಸ್ ದ ಹೈಯೆಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಫೈವ್ ಮುಖ್ಯ ರಸಸ್. ಸೊ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಕಾನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್ ವಿತ್ ಯಮುನಾ ಲೀಲಾ ಇನ್ ದ ಈವ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಅ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಲೆಕ್ಚರ್ ವಿಚ್ ಶಿ ಹರ್ಡ್ ವೇರ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ಸ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಸಮ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಯು ಆರ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೈಭವ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಸಮ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್. ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಸ್ಟಡೀಡ್ ದ ವೇದಾಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದೇರ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ವೇದಾಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ದೀಸ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ಕೇಮ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದೇ ಫಿನಿಶ್ಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ನರೇಷನ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಆಸ್ ದಮ್ ಓಕೆ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಯು ಟೆಲ್ ಮೀ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್. ಸೊ they spent a whole lot of time debating amongst themselves after that. There are so many, what can we say, Vedas is huge. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, you tell me who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead after having read all the Vedas. Again there was debate, discussion, nothing came out of that. And then Srila Prabhupada immediately called one Gurukuli, young Gurukuli. He said, okay, come here, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He said, Krishna. And then he went away. So Srila Prabhupada said, even a Gurukuli here knows. Who has not read all the Vedas, young boy, even he is able to tell Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but after all your Vedic study, you have not been able to tell. So, the scholars asked Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult to know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada said that even Krishna doesn't know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada answered them back like that. He said, by the time Krishna realizes his own glories, his glories has gone up. So even he is not able to realize. So therefore, it is very difficult for us, even to Krishna, to understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we hear from a pure devotee about Krishna, then it is very easy for us to understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by all the Vedas, Lord cannot be simply known. His glories cannot be known. So the subject matter of hearing should be Krishna. Second is the priority which one must give to hearing. Hearing must be given very high priority. Now, unfortunately, during initiation, we take only 5 vows. 4 regulative principles plus chanting the holy name. Nobody takes a vow that I hear one lecture every day. Right? And because we don't take a vow like that, then often this is a ignored area. The subject matter of hearing. So, it must be considered as the most important process leading to purification. And its power must not be marginalized in relation to chanting. So we must not think that hearing is less important. Chanting is at the end of the day yoga dharma. We must not think like that because unless we hear, we cannot chant. It is not possible. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Chitta Shuddhe Karilavudai. He said, Shravanadi Chitta Shuddhe Karilavudai. He didn't say, Japanadi Chitta Shuddhe Karilavudai. So he gave the message. First, it has to be Shravanam. So first, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam has to enter the holes of the ears. And when that enters the holes of the ears, there comes the impetus for chanting, which is ultimately the Yuga Dharma. So both are equally important processes. And he says, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karilavudai. So this Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. Cleaning the heart. Unless that happens, the prayojana, which is or the goal, which is to attain our eternal siddha swarupa, which is to attain our eternal constitutional position, that will not happen until the chitta shuddha happens. Right? So ultimately the goal is to purify ourselves in such a way that our constitutional position with regard to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a specific service to Lord Krishna in a particular manner, that has to come. So that is a goal of all our bhakti. And that will not come unless we hear constantly. The third aspect of hearing is that both the speaker and the hearer must be qualified. Now it is mentioned that at least one of them should be qualified. If the speaker is also not qualified and the hearer is also not qualified, then there is useless. Like Gaurang Prabhu was once saying, Lobhi Guru Lalchi Chela, Dono Ka Narak Mein Thelam Thela. Which means that if a guru is, you know, supposedly he is trying to exploit the disciple, and the disciple is also trying to want to be exploited by the guru, then both of them will land up in hell and have many, many meetings there. Dono Ka Narak Mein Thelam Thela. Okay. So, either one of them at least has to be qualified. Ideally both should be qualified, which is what we see here. The sages are also qualified in Naimisharanya and the speaker is also very qualified. So there is perfect reciprocation. But at least one of them has to be qualified. So Lord Chaitanya said that Bhagavata Pada Giya Bhagavata Stane, which means if you want to realize what is Bhagavatam, then you must go and learn Srimad Bhagavatam from a person whose life is Bhagavatam. And not go to the professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, talking about at least one person who must be qualified, there is a, let's take examples, where the speaker is qualified, but the hearer was never qualified. So there is a real life story which I heard in one of the lectures, wherein there was a thief, and this person used to always, you know, he had a habit for pickpocketing. So he was pickpocketing everywhere, and ultimately the police was behind him. So one day the police saw him, and then the police was chasing him. So this guy ran and ran and ran, police was in hot pursuit. Now, what happened was, somehow he ran and then he saw that there was a huge Bhagavad Sapta which was going on. And you know, some great Mahan, Acharya, was speaking on the stage. So he ran and ran and he hid himself within the crowd, saying that, okay, now nobody will be able to recognize, find out, the police will never find out. Okay, because there are some 5,000-6,000 people sitting there. So as soon as he got inside, he took one place, and then the police came here and there, he saw that they couldn't find him anyway. So after some time, he said, the police left. So he was very relaxed. He said, now the police has gone, now at least, since I'm here, let me spend some time. I have to spend some time, because if I go out, they'll catch me now. So let me compulsorily sit here and hear what the speaker has to say. So the speaker was talking about Lord Krishna. He was saying, Lord Krishna as a child, what he does. So he says that Mother Yashoda decorates him so nicely well, he's got complete gold ornaments all over his body. And diamonds and pearls and necklaces. And that's how he goes along with his brother Balram to pasture the cows. Now when the thief heard this, he said, wow, this is far out. You know, where can I find this boy Krishna? He's got lot of gold with him. I never have to do any pickpocketing. If once I find this person, and if I can take this gold and these ornaments, I don't have to do this profession ever again. So he was hearing very intently. Every word he was hearing. How Krishna dresses up, what he does, what time he goes, what is the Ashtakaliya pastimes, every hour what he does. So he was hearing with rapt attention. And it is said, by the time he finished that, he developed an intense desire to see Lord Krishna, albeit for the wrong reasons. But then eventually it is said that his pursuit became so intense that actually Krishna gave him darshan, because he was so intensely looking for Krishna. And when he saw Krishna's darshan, he said, no, I don't want all these stones anymore because I have already seen you. Pretty similar to Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. I was searching for broken pieces of glass, Dhruva Maharaj said towards the end. So similar pastime. So here we see an example where the speaker is very qualified, but the person who was hearing was absolutely unqualified, but still Srimad Bhagavatam had its effect. Now exactly opposite situation, where the speaker is completely unqualified, but the hearer is really qualified, and how Srimad Bhagavatam takes effect. So the example is given of Lala Babu. So this is given in a book called Saints of Raja, which you know, Ratnam Prabhu is having in his bag now. This was written by Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Audh Bihari Lal Kapoor, whose name was Adi Keshav Prabhu. So in Saints of Raja, lot of charitra of saints is given, different saints. So Lala Babu is one of the famous saints, and there is a temple also called as Lala Babu Ka Mandir in Vrindavan. So this Lala Babu, he was the son of the governor, he was the grandson of the governor general. When Warren Hastings was the governor general of India during British rule, he was a grandson. And this Lala Babu had so much wealth that his paternal uncles were already very wealthy. They were probably the wealthiest people in Bengal that ever lived. On top of that, his father was also very wealthy. And when both of them left, both of them gave all their inheritance to Lala Babu. So you can just imagine how wealthy he was. So this Lala Babu had a very affluent lifestyle. So he used to go in a palanquin carried by so many people. Just like Maharaj Rahuguna, like that. He used to carry, and then He used to have a hookah. You know what's a hookah? Yeah, hookah is a pipe which he used to smoke. You know? And he was being served by all the devotees. All the palanquin carriers. So, one day when he was going along like this, it was evening already. And when he was going through one of the villages, then he said, okay, now I want to take rest here. It was a very serene place. The palanquin was laid down. And as he looked out, he saw from a hut, one girl was calling out to her father. He said, dear father, it was evening. And this person had, apparently the father was drunk or whatever, but he was sleeping. No, normally, usually you don't sleep during sandhya. Sandhya is that evening, no? Sandhya, Asura Sandhya Galam. Yeah. You don't sleep during that time, but he was sleeping. So the girl was telling him, father, wake up. The sun is about to set. So please wake up now. Don't be late. So when Lala Babu heard that, suddenly, you know, something inside his heart sprung up and he realized, this is Radharani calling me. She's telling me, Lala Babu, enough of your opulent material life now. Now wake up because death is coming anytime. Sunset is happening now. So immediately this kind of a realization dawned in his heart. He went home. Immediately he left the palanquin, went home. He told his wife and children, you have all the wealth. I am leaving for Vrindavan. His whole family tried to persuade him or dissuade him from going. But he didn't listen. He went to Vrindavan for the rest of his life, leaving all his wealth. And then he became a very great devotee of Srimati Radharani. So here we see that the speaker who said was absolutely, there was no qualification on the speaker. She just mentioned something. But since the hearer had some Shukriti, he immediately received the message and then he took it as if it was Radharani's instruction to him. So at least one of them has to be qualified. Then Srimad Bhagavatam can manifest itself. The fourth aspect, so we saw three aspects. Who should be the subject matter of hearing? We saw that why hearing should be given priority. We saw that one of them should be qualified, the speaker or the hearer. The fourth one must be, the Srimad Bhagavatam must be heard constantly and regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, not one time Bhagavata Sevaya, not occasional Bhagavata Sevaya, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every day, every moment, it must be heard. So in India, this is very prevalent. Now in India, if someone tells you that we are holding Bhagavat Sapta, please come. Then the question you can ask them very freely. Someone died in your house? You know, because only when some death happens in the house, people hold Bhagavat Sapta. And all then people, ladies will come. And that too, who will attend this Bhagavat Sapta? Only the old ladies will attend. So, one of them, like one incident was, outside Yamuna Leela's house, you know, she lives in a place called Kandivali in Bombay. So in the society, somebody, you know, left their body. So they had called one speaker, you know, who was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam in Gujarati. So this person was speaking on the stage. So everyone assembled initially. So this was the first, you know, few 20 minutes or 1 hour or whatever. Then after that, only the old ladies were left, right? And after that, because next day I happened to go there also, so I saw that even the old ladies had disappeared. There was one stray dog which was looking at him and barking. You know, and the person was speaking Bhagavatam. And there was a loudspeaker also. Nobody was there. There was one cat which was outside our house. And there was one dog which was standing and looking at the speaker. That's all. And at the end of the whole session, then the speaker took his money. They did aarti to Srimad Bhagavatam. And then they left. That's all. So this is the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we think that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be only heard when someone, and that too we don't hear at that time. Srimad Bhagavatam is more like a pious ritualistic activity which has to be done when someone dies. So Srimad Bhagavatam, says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It must be heard under any situation and under any circumstances. Sarvatra Sarvada. We must always hear. The fifth one must be, Srimad Bhagavata must be heard in the association of devotees, always. We cannot say, I am hearing on MP3 player, you know, at my home, like that. Okay, because when we hear on MP3 player, then we have a control over what we hear. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we must not have any control. We should not be in a position to get up also, because everyone is seeing where this fellow is going now, you know, from the class, like that. So we must compel ourselves to sit in one place and hear it till the speaker finishes. So, Srimad Bhagavatam must be heard in the association of devotees. So, there is a verse also. It says, Satam Prasangat Mama Virya Samvido, which we also discussed in the last class. Satam Prasangat, which means in the association of devotees. Bhavanti Hritkarana Rasayana Katha. It must go through the ears. Okay. Then, Tad Joshanat Asu Apavarga Vartmani. Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishati. When we hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, Asu Apavarga Vartmani. Asu means very quickly. very quickly what happens? Apavarga Vartmani. There are two Vartmanis. Mrityu Sansara Vartmani, which is going down into the animal species, and cycle of birth, disease, old age and death, and Apavarga Vartmani, which means you are transcending the material world. So immediately we will transcend the material world. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, and Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati, which means first faith will come, then Shraddha, then Rati, taste will come, and then bhakti, devotion will come, anukramishyati, in that order. Right? So therefore, that is very important. So the fourth point is, it must be heard regularly, and the fifth point is, it must be heard in the association of devotees. And the sixth point is, Srimad Bhagavatam must be heard empathically. So there are four or five types of hearing. The first type of hearing is ignoring. So the speaker is saying something, and we are ignoring. Who is this fellow to speak? I know everything. So sometimes, you know, we see that many times when we, you know, give class, especially when new people are there, somebody doesn't like what you are speaking at all. So they will sit with a very morose expression. Like that. And even when you crack a joke, they will not laugh. You know? So everybody is laughing, but no, I refuse to laugh. Because I want to tell you that I will not laugh. So, you know, there's a lot of false egos in the heart. And even if you tell Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, no, I refuse to accept. I refuse to accept whatever you're saying. So what happens? You know, you can find out. So, when you're speaking, you look into their eyes and then they look somewhere else. Like that. Okay. They don't want to see you at all. Okay. So this is, some false ego is there inside that. Who are you to speak and who am I to hear? I reject you, but I'm sitting here because I'm sitting here, that's all. Right. So this is called as ignoring. Ignoring the speaker, ignoring whatever the speaker is saying. And the speaker can quickly detect. From the Vyasa, one can easily detect. No? So, no, like that. This is ignoring. Then pretending. So pretending to hear. For example, you know. And when it touches down, and then you know that, you know, now you have slept. You know, everyone has watched, so. This is pretending to hear. Which means, actually I was not sleeping, but I was relishing the taste so much that now I understood everything. So this is pretending to hear. Ignoring, pretending. Third is selective hearing. You have gone down like this, and then, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Selective hearing. Only that last part. No? Now let us go for prasadam. No? This is selective hearing. Which normally the husbands do at home. No? With the wives. Selective hearing. Then the fourth is attentive hearing. Attentive hearing is obviously prescribed. Attentive hearing means right from the time the speaker has started speaking till the end of the class, complete attention is there. But there are no questions. Attentive hearing and then gone. And the fifth type is empathic hearing. It is said that the symptom of empathic hearing means that person is absorbing, person is thinking, how can I apply this in my life now? And person is thinking, there are so many doubts which are coming, and then the person is asking questions. And then there is a question and answer, there is a question and answer. And then that way, then the whole sar of Srimad Bhagavatam is absorbed. And that's exactly what is happening here. They didn't just say, oh, my dear Sutta Goswami, can you please speak Srimad Bhagavatam? We will all hear very attentively. No, it was not like that. They said, we are asking six questions. So look at this Kali Yuga. There is a discussion happening in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very healthy if such a thing happens, right? So these are the five types of hearing. So Srila Prabhupada said that there must be eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Without eagerness, we cannot absorb Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Example is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj had so much eagerness to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam that for 7 days, he didn't move from that place. There was nothing like, you know, take a break or something like that. Nothing. Right? So, continuously, he was so eager to hear. But when we tell the example of Parikshit Maharaj, people will say, oh no, that's because the poor fellow had, you know, 7 days to live. That's why even if I had 7 days to live, I'll also, you know, hear Bhagavatam very attentively. Okay. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam removes that myth also. Srimad Bhagavatam says, okay, forget about Parikshit Maharaj. Look at the other devotees. There are so many instances where people were at the peak of their opulence and their glory, still they heard Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively and eagerly. So many examples are there. For example, we saw King Prachinabarhi. King Prachinabarhi, he was not in any such situation like Sukadeva Goswami was, that he had 7 days to live. He was a king and, you know, he was the emperor and he had everything at his disposal. But still he was hearing from sage Narad Muni. The other example of eagerness of hearing was demonstrated by the Prachetas, who were the sons of Prachinabarhi. So the Prachetas, they met Lord Shiva when the Prachetas were in search of the absolute truth, they met Lord Shiva. Now who is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga. Durga is the controller of the material world. It's Durga who administers all our karmas to us, right? That she's called Trigunamayi. She's the in charge of mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So she pierces us with the three modes of ignorance. And Shiva is her controller. Sorry. So people worship Shiva in India for the wrong reasons, right? But why do people worship Shiva? Either they want some mystical powers or they want opulences. Or people worship Shiva's consort, which is Uma Devi. The ladies do fasting so that they can get a good husband. And what is the definition of good husband? Who should look like a movie star and who should have money like Bill Gates. And who should be as humble as a blade of grass at the end of that, right? Then that is a good husband. Okay, so they will worship Uma Devi for that reason. Okay. So people have completely distorted the idea. Yesterday also somebody was asking me, there are two types of worshippers, somebody was telling me in office. One is Shiva worshipper and one is, Krishna worshipper. There are two types of worshippers. And then we were explaining to that person that, yeah, there is no true Shiva worshipper at all. It is only Vishnu worshippers who are actually Shiva worshippers. A person who says Shiva worshipper is not a Shiva worshipper. Ask him what he is asking of Lord Shiva. And immediately you will come to know, he is not worshipping Shiva. He is using Shiva to worship his material desires. So that is called a Shiva worshipper, right? But the actual Shiva worshippers are Lord Vishnu, because we never go to Lord Shiva and ask for any material benedictions. We understand that Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Therefore, we go to him and only ask him, Krishna Bhakti, the way that you have, please give it to us also. So, there was an interesting story I heard from Amsterdam. Now, Amsterdam is the den of intoxication, of drugs, right? So, in Amsterdam, it is said that ganja is very popular. Ganja is one of the drugs, people have ganja, like LSD. So it's very popular. So it is so popular that the folklore is that people have heard that Lord Shiva used to smoke ganja, and therefore everybody in Amsterdam is very attracted to Lord Shiva by default, right? So therefore, in fact, it is mentioned that of the various brands of ganja that is available in the market, then the topmost brand is called as Rudra Magic. Okay. So that is the highest brand of ganja. And the advertisement for this Rudra Magic is also that it is absolutely pure, unadulterated since last 100 years, coming as it is to you, that Rudra Ganja. Because other ganjas are having some contamination. It's very pure ganja. So like that. So now the devotees there in Amsterdam are very intelligent. So they saw this propensity that yes, okay, if they are so attached to Lord Shiva, then through Rudra Ganja or Rudra Magic, then why not we preach them Krishna consciousness through the medium of Lord Shiva? So they organized a big pandal, a big program, and they said, we are going to speak to you about Rudra Gita. Rudra Gita is the same, that Lord Shiva, that Ganja. You come. So everyone came to hear Rudra Gita. Now what is Rudra Gita? Rudra Gita is the message which Lord Shiva spoke to the Prachetas. That's called as Rudra Gita. Right? So they called the devotees on this pretext. Sorry, they called the people of Amsterdam on this pretext, and it was a huge success, that program. So devotees, because they know the Yukta Vairagya principle, they could channelize anything to bring people under the lotus feet of Krishna. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, one of the benefits is that we understand the glories of this Rudra or Lord Shiva, right? And we don't then worship him for the wrong reasons, and we also understand his true position, right? Coming back to the Prachetas, simply by hearing from Lord Shiva the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, they got personal darshan of Lord Vishnu. So that is the sequence in which the pastime goes. So Lord Vishnu personally came in front of him. So, there is an interesting prayer, one or two interesting prayers which the Prachetas are talking about the glories of this Krishna Katha. They say, Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called as Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such an action. Similarly, when you have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of your lotus feet, what further benediction may we ask? So Lord Krishna is compared to a Parijata tree. So a bee goes everywhere and collects honey. But it is said that the bee ultimately, when it comes to the Parijata tree and then takes the nectar, then it's completely satisfied. It never goes to another plant or flower after that. So that is how We are like that beast. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasadepaya Bhakti Lata Beast. We have been wandering in this material world with all kinds of philosophies, with all kinds of notions, but ultimately then we have come to the Parijata tree of Srimad Bhagavatam. And once we hear this Bhagavat philosophy from this Parijata tree about Lord Krishna, then all our philosophies, whatever bogus philosophies, Kaitava Dharma, and whatever notions that we had, then all that is dispelled. So this is the first prayer which the Prachetas are offering. And there is one pastime regarding this. His Grace, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, from our Bhaktivedanta manor, he was talking about a pastime of an Englishman. Now this person was travelling somewhere in London in a train. So as he was travelling in the train, something happened to the train and the train had to make a sudden halt. So when the train had a sudden halt, this gentleman, he banged his head so hard against the railing of the train that immediately he lost all his memory. He lost all his memory, so he got down at the platform and he didn't know where to go. And finally, wandering here and there, he reached in Birmingham. And people asked him, where have you come from, who are you? He said, I don't know who I am, I don't know where I have come from. So he said, okay, come on, but he has to survive, so somebody gave him a job. So he got a job in some place like Coles, where they sell vegetables and whatever. So his job was to move heavy crates there and put all the vegetable crates in the proper place. So he did this for many months, and his relatives were also wondering, where is this fellow gone? And he had no idea where he was and who he was. One day as he was doing, he was arranging all these crates, a huge crate of potato fell on his head. And this time when it fell on his head, he was injured, no doubt, but then all his memory came back immediately, right? And immediately said, I now come to know who I am, right? And immediately he left Birmingham, went all the way to his London and met his relatives. And he said, where were you all these days? He said, yeah, no, I had an accident and I have forgotten all, everything, whatever I was. But then now I have come back. I have got complete memory of this. So, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the nature of the jiva also. When the jiva comes in contact with the material energy, then we completely forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where we have come from, why are we here, nothing we know. We just keep engaging in laborious activities in this material world, which is called as useless waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. We labor in this material world to acquire temporary material desire, to fulfill our material desires, but to temporarily. Till death takes everything away. So now when we meet a person Bhagavata, it is like the potato crate falling on our head. Immediately we remember, I am in this material world because I desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So from this person Bhagavata, then our remembrance of Lord Krishna is awakened, and then we embark on the journey of bhakti. So coming back to the Prachetas, the next verse, therefore the Prachetas are speaking, they are saying, Yavat te mayaya shprishtha brahmama tha karmabhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyanno bhave bhave. They say, dear Lord, Vishnu comes in front of them. After their prayers to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu is coming and telling them, ask me what you want now. They are saying, dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another type of body and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life in different bodily forms and on different planets. So they didn't pray for any material benediction to Lord Vishnu. They didn't even say that give us liberation. They said that we don't want liberation. As long, whatever birth you want to give us, you give. But whatever species of life may be in, may we always be in association of your devotees, because only in association of our devotees can we hear your glories. So, the perfection of life is not about seeing Lord. The perfection of life, therefore, is developing the constant urge to hear the Lord's glories. Because they are already seeing the Lord. But still they are asking this, which means there is something higher than seeing the Lord. So, somebody may argue that the nature of Harikatha is such that one may hear, but one may forget after some time. So for example, very few of us may remember what was spoken in the last Saturday class. In fact, many of us may even forget what was spoken yesterday in Srimad Bhagavatam class, right? So that is the nature. Then why take all this effort? So I was speaking with Yamuna Lila yesterday, and she told me that she heard a comment from Gaurang Prabhu. He was mentioning to everyone that just like we have been eating food since so many years, since we were born. We may not hear what food we have eaten, since we may not remember what food we have eaten since so many years. But regardless of that, that food has been constantly and slowly nourishing you. You have still grown. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. We may not remember, but simply the process of hearing is such that the process is so powerful, it will take effect and it will keep on nourishing us and purifying us. So, in the next verse, therefore, in the Pracheta as it is mentioned, wherever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. This is the benediction of Srimad Bhagavatam. So gradually, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we will get that taste and attraction. So Srila Prabhupada often quoted that out of all the senses, the ears are the most powerful of the senses. So be it attentive chanting which we do through these ears, or be it prajalpa, it will have effect both the ways. Right? So in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about the six items that will destroy bhakti. Right? Atyahara prayasacha prajalpo niyamagraha. So therefore it starts with atyahara. So the jiva initially desires atyahara. There is a desire to acquire everything for material sense gratification. Now, because this desire is there to acquire everything, to enjoy the senses, then there is prayasacha. Then there is very hard work to be able to afford all these things. Then person leaves all devotional life and works for 18 hours, 20 hours a day. Right? And then, when a person starts working like this, then he becomes even more attracted to his material desires because he sees the goals coming near. Then what he wants to do? He wants to ask others, how are those people successful who have been able to enjoy their senses better than what I can do today? What are the techniques that they adopted? And then a conversation happens with such people, and that is prajalpa. So atyahara prayasascha followed by prajalpa. So therefore it is mentioned that this kind of a conversation, if it comes through the ear is so powerful that it can contaminate, and the ear is so powerful that if it hears the right message, it can deliver also. So, Canto 1 is warning us against this mundane literature, against hearing anything which is mundane subject matter. There is a very nice verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Nayad vachas chitrapadam harer yaso jagat pavitram pagrinati karhichit tad vayasam tirtam Ushanti manasa na yatra hamsha niramanti ushikshayaha. It is said that hearing such subject matters, any literature which does not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is like a place for pilgrimage for the crows. And it is said the devotees who are very sincere, the transcendental personalities, do not take any pleasure in such literature or in hearing such subject matters. And then the next verse immediately says, on the other hand, it says, Tadva Gvasarbo Janataga Viplova. There is a verse which says, on the other hand, that literature which even imperfectly composed, there may be spelling mistakes, there may be grammatical mistakes, everything, but which has sincerely tried to glorify the Lord, even though it may be imperfectly composed, is perfect, is considered to be perfect, and all the glories, Atmavit Sammitaha Pumsam. It has got the endorsement of all sages like that. Okay. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, when he saw one of his disciples reading the Time magazine, Srila Prabhupada said, okay, what are you reading? Can you show me? And he showed the Time magazine. And Srila Prabhupada quickly went through it. And Srila Prabhupada said, very dangerous, Prabhupada said, this magazine, right? It can completely take you away from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada warned us against hearing and reading such literature. So the most important principle which we are learning through this example is how the mind can be absorbed through hearing the transcendental sound vibration from a bona fide acharya. Therefore, the prachetas, despite being in front of Krishna consciousness, asked for this benediction. Otherwise, even Duryodhan had seen the Lord, but Duryodhan never asked the Lord for such a benediction. He was also seeing the Lord all the time, but it was pratikul, not anukul. In an unfavorable way he was seeing. So there was an example which I heard in one of the lectures. This is from Spain. In Spain, there is a devotee, senior devotee, by the name Vinod Vihari Prabhu. Now, he lives in a place called Malaga in Spain. Now, Vinod Vihari Prabhu, he was a businessman. So, when he went to Spain, he had this intense desire. He was not a devotee when he went to Spain, but he had an intense desire to make money. by doing business in Spain. So he tried lot of techniques, lot of businesses, but he was not succeeding because he could not speak the Spanish language, right? And people were cheating him all the time. So he developed a desire that somehow I want to learn this Spanish language, right? So one day, as he was wandering on the streets, he came across a bookstall. So he came there and he saw that some devotees who were having tilak, etc., they were selling some books. And then one devotee called him and said, please take this book. You seem to be from India. Take this book. And that book was Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is in Spanish language. So the devotee somehow happened to tell him that by this book, do you know Krishna? Yeah, you know Krishna, right? So this book tells all about Krishna. And you will also learn Spanish by reading this book. That's what the devotee inadvertently said. So, Vinod Vihari Prabhu immediately brought that book. And he had no desire. He had no interest in Bhagavad Gita, no interest in Krishna, nothing. So he said, okay, because I know something about Krishna, by reading about this, at least I'll understand, I'll get a better grasp of the Spanish language. So every day, 2 hours he started spending in going through each and every word of Bhagavad Gita and translations and so on and so forth, such that by the time he finished the Bhagavad Gita, he realized he forgot his original goal of learning the Spanish language and he became a devotee. But Krishna also took care of him, such that his business was very successful and he is very well placed now. So the Lord took care of him. The point, and when Vajvadhyari, and when he was asked about his realization, he said, I did not realize how this was happening, how this transformation was happening, but just association with transcendental sound vibration pulled me to the spiritual platform. The powerful words of Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, we may see, so here we see that someone with a material motive who is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is transformed by the powerful vibration. On the other hand, we see that if we associate with mundane sound vibration, even within the precincts of the temple, then that will not lead us to Krishna consciousness at all. So therefore, it is not whether you are in the temple or whether you are outside the temple. It is what quality of sound vibration that we associate with during our entire day. One final example is, again from UK, Bhaktivedanta Manor, where a devotee by the name Gauri Prabhu was once giving a class. Now there is this youth forum which is called as Pandav Sena. So Gauri Prabhu was giving a class to the Pandav Sena, to the upcoming young devotees, and he had just finished his lecture. And at the end of his lecture, there were some 20-30 people in the audience, and then one of them raised his hands and he asked a question to Gauri Prabhu. His question was, you talked about religion. Okay. Now we see many types of religion prevailing in this world. How do we know which is real religion and which is not real religion? For example, there are some religions which propagate war and which smell of terrorism, the teaching smell of terrorism. So how do we understand, what is the right mood to be able to understand the import of these religions? So this was the question he asked. So Gauri Prabhu answered this question by saying that, yeah, there are so many religions, but as far as we are concerned, we need not worry about all of the religions. We are following Srila Prabhupada. We have been given the religion of Sanatana Dharma. So we follow our religion very clearly. We follow the religion which is clearly enunciated by Srila Prabhupada, which is coming from the disciplic succession, and therefore we are safe. And he said, and he gave an example. He said, And different people who want to follow different religions, it's up to them. So for example, someone who is following a different religion, they may subscribe to the tenets of that. And as an example, he said, just like now, we are all in London. So when we are in London, we will subscribe to the rules of the government of London, right? Or the government of United Kingdom. And then he said that, let's say, we are in Tanzania, for example. So in Tanzania, then somebody will follow the rules of Tanzania. So someone from Tanzania cannot come here to London and say that this is acceptable in Tanzania. So therefore, you know, I will follow the religion of Tanzania. So he had just finished giving these answers. After that, one person raised his hand. So Gauri Prabhu asked him, who are you? He said, my name is Muhammad and I am from Tanzania. So he was very embarrassed. He had no idea of who are the people who had registered for this course, and he had just inadvertently said that just because someone is coming from Tanzania, and obviously you know, the question was also asked in a way, a religion which, you know, religion, terrorism. So we know that it was talking about Islam, right? So obviously, pure Islam will not talk about terrorism, but that's the understanding which people have, unfortunately. So, and then here he says, I'm Muhammad from Tanzania, right? It was a strange coincidence in the class. So Gauri Prabhu was very, very embarrassed. But of course, you know, devotees very quickly come out of that, and then he was very surprised also, that how come a person, a Muslim from Tanzania is coming here and attending Pandavasena lecture in United Kingdom. So then he asked him. So the boy said that, he said that he has been practicing serious Krishna consciousness since many years. And then Gauri Prabhu asked him, how did it start? So he said that when he was in engineering, engineering was a very stressful course for him. And as he was wandering around, you know, searching for some books in engineering, he came across a very old shop where books were being sold at a discounted price, engineering books. So the moment the owner saw him, the owner was a Tanzanian, an African. So the owner saw him, he thought, oh, this guy must be from India. So therefore immediately he told him, oh, 1 minute, hang on, I've got a very old book. I don't think anybody here will be interested in this. You take this book. And then that old book was again Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, right? So he got that old book and then he went home to his Tanzania home, and then he started reading that. He said that I was so inspired that by the book that even without any association of devotees, simply by taking association of the words written by Srila Prabhupada, the transcendental sound vibration, I started chanting 16 rounds. This is far out, you know, in Africa, Tanzania. And he said, I decided, this is so wonderful, why can't I dedicate my entire lifetime to what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has propounded? This was too far out. This was too far out for, you know, the devotees there. And then they asked them, but you have come from a, you know, Muslim family. Like, you know, it's impossible in India that someone from such a background, from a Muslim background, will come and accept the tenets of Sanatana Dharma. And on top of that, try to become a brahmachari. Right? So, to which he said that, you people are all brahmacharis. Don't you think your life is very blissful? It's full, it's free of any kind of encumbrances. No going to job in the morning, you know, completely dedicating and no managing family, no, not worried about relatives, nothing. Of course, brahmachari life is very stressful, there's no doubt about it, there's a lot of austerities, but still it's a blissful life at the end of the day, you know, you don't have all these, you know, worldly things to do, right? So he said, he asked, and then the devotee said, yes, we are very happy. He said, the same thing, that's why I also developed the desire to become a brahmachari. So he said that just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, he felt so much inspiration that he started cooking his own food. He doesn't even use the utensils which his parents are using. He's cooking his own food, offering it to the Lord. And then he was asked, don't you face any objection from your parents? He said, no. Fortunately, Tanzania is, though it's a Muslim country, but it's not as, people are not as fanatic and they are very welcoming of other religions. So they are quite open-minded. So the point is, association, you know, with from this pure sound vibration can deliver anybody in this world. So the conclusion is that in this verse we see a perfect exposition of all the principles of hearing that we have seen. So we see here that the sages of Naimisaranya are hearing from Suta Goswami. The subject matter of hearing, which is the number one criteria, is about Lord Krishna. Number two, they are giving priority to hearing. They have left all their work and assembled in the forest of Naimisaranya to hear from him. That is the second principle which we saw. The third principle, both speaker as well as the audience, both of them are qualified and they are asking questions. So they are hearing constantly. They are not taking any break. We have not heard anywhere in Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus the sages took a break and then assembled after 20 minutes. No, you will not hear any verse like that. They are hearing together in the association of devotees. Of course, there was no MP3 player. They didn't say, okay, can somebody record? I'll hear it offline. No, nothing. They were all sitting there and they were hearing from Suta Goswami. There was no loudspeaker also there. And then, their hearing was empathic. Not only was there attentive hearing, but they were asking questions. They asked 6 questions and asked Suta Goswami to give answers to that. And when such a discussion happened, when such an empathic discussion happens, then the speaker was so pleased that in the second chapter, second canto, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam opens with the speaker congratulating the audience. He says, Varyan yeshate prashna krito lokahritam nrapa atmavit samitaha pumsan shrotavyadisu yah paraha. So, which means what? That, Varyan yeshate prashna. My dear devotees, I congratulate you on your question. Your question is really glorious. Krito lokahitam ripa. Because these questions are the real welfare activity of mankind. Atmavit sammitah pumsam. All transcendentalists accept and endorse such questioning, and shrotavya adishu yaha paraha. Okay, so shrotavya adishu, which means out of all varieties of hearing, yaha paraha, which means this is the highest type of hearing. So I was hearing in one lecture that this is the advantage which we have in ISKCON. So Gaurang Prabhu, this was Gaurang Prabhu's lecture again, he was saying that ISKCON is like a hospital. In this hospital, there may be a lot of imperfections externally. The building may not be painted perfectly, or the building may not have a goburam. Like, you know, many people come from South India and they say, is this temple or what? Where is goburam, they ask. Okay, they want some, you know, triangular shaped goburam on top of that. Only then they will accept this is a temple. So there may be a lot of things which may not be, you know, traditional, or which may not be cultural. So we may be very different. Or like Prabhupada said, in ISKCON, we don't, ISKCON is not a bell ringing temple. Okay, in other temples you may go, you may ring, you know, bell, and then you will go and take archana plate, pay 10 rupees, and then, you know, the pujari will do, you know, ayur arogyam aishwaryam, you know, he will give you some blessings, and then you give him 10 rupees, and then you take that and go away. But this is not that kind of a temple. So in one sense, people may think that no, this is not a perfect situation for a temple. And some people think that temple means there should be peace and tranquility, om shanti, not this jumping around and dancing loudly, you know, kirtan. Temple means it should be very quiet like that. So ISKCON may not fall in the traditional mindset. Our temples may not fall in the traditional mindset of, you know, people who are exposed to other temples. So they may perceive apparent imperfections. And there could be genuine imperfections also. Okay, there could be genuine imperfections in the way we do things. Sometimes the khichdi may not have salt, everything. But he said that there are two things which are perfect in ISKCON. One is the 16th syllable Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That cannot be imperfect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this hospital, nothing may work, but the medicine will work. Right? That guarantee is there. Whereas in other hospitals, everything may be nice, but there is no medicine at all. Right? So Hare Krishna Maha Mantra medicine. And second thing which is perfect is the divine purports of Srila Prabhupada, the transcendental sound vibration. So simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and hearing attentively, and by constantly taking shelter of the words of an acharya like the sages are doing here, then we can perfect our lives. This is the glories of hearing which these verses are talking about. So we'll stop here and ask if there are any comments or questions.
Krishna does not know he was the Supreme Lord.
So the acharyas say that Krishna himself doesn't understand the extent of his glories. He is unlimited. So every time he tries to understand his glories have already increased by that time. So Krishna is unlimited. Of course, we know that Brahma is not able to understand the glories, but Krishna is also not able to understand his glories because his glories are unlimited. So there is no finite set over there. It's infinite. It is always glowing. That's why Lord Krishna also sometimes, he once there is a pastime, he is going to the water and he is seeing himself. And he is saying, who is this attractive person? You know, he is himself attracted by himself. He is attractive. He attracts the whole world, he attracts himself to himself. So he is so attractive. Yes, the spiritual world is all about continuation. He is asking, if we go to spiritual world, then do we continue hearing there? So the process of bhakti is not an end. It is the end, but it is the process also. There is no end to bhakti. Bhakti is an ongoing process. So we keep hearing about Lord Krishna, we keep perfecting, so that we reach a stage where we are continuously hearing about Lord Krishna. And that stage is an eternal stage. Because Jivara Swarupavai Nityara Krishna Das. So, our eternal constitutional position is one of loving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. That we are actually impure, but then we are artificially trying to hear Krishna Katha. therefore then we will become pure. No. Prabhupada says that naturally the soul is a devotee. Every soul is a devotee of Krishna. It's just because of material covering we have forgotten. So by the process of hearing, that layer which has made us forget Krishna is removed. And when that layer is removed, we will realize our original position, which is to always hear Krishna Katha. So it is just to realize our original position that we are hearing. But when we realize that original position, then we will always be hearing. So iPod and MP3 player are definitely facilitated. So Srila Prabhupada said utility is the principle. So there is nothing wrong in hearing from iPod. So that was not the message, that we should not hear from iPod, but we should also hear in the association of devotees. That has got much more effect than hearing from an iPod. Because you cannot ask questions to an iPod, right, at the end of the lecture, isn't it? Whereas when we are hearing in the association of devotees, we can ask questions. But sometimes because of services, devotees may not be able to, you know, attend every Bhagavatam class. And that is also, again, you know, I was hearing another lecture by Gaurang Prabhu recently, which he gave in New York, where somebody asked him, is service more important or hearing is more important? Attending Bhagavatam class. So he said very clearly, service is more important. Because at the end of all hearing, if one doesn't do service, then there is no point in hearing. So if there is an opportunity for serving the Lord, then that service must be given more importance than hearing. So sometimes devotees may have other services. For example, you know, brahmacharis like you have a very tight schedule in the temple, so you may not be able to attend all Bhagavatam classes. Even, you know, even grihastha, sometimes we find it very difficult to, you know, attend all Bhagavatam classes in the temple. So that is not possible. So then we make the best use of a bad bargain. So when we go in the tram, then we plug, you know, immediately and do our hearing for the day. Okay, so that is fine, but the point here to be taken is that there is the most potent way of hearing is hearing directly through the mouth of a sadhu and amongst the association of devotees. So then we have this opportunity for a discussion like this, like that.
Just in relation to Shravan and Kirtan, isn't the goal basically Vishnu Smaranam? Yes.
Yeah, the goal of Shravanam and Kirtanam is Vishnu Smaranam. Yes, that is the prayojana. That's why in the first verse itself, the prayojana is given. Satyam param dhimahi. 1.1.1. The goal of all these activities ultimately is to understand the absolute truth. And the absolute truth is on a higher plane than Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the goal of hearing at the end of the day is to not only understand that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to also understand that at the end of the day he is a cowherd boy. He is a simple cowherd boy. So that is the perfection of all hearing. And to develop that relationship with him.
Just another point, make a comment. Actually, I was listening to Jagatarani Mataji, and the way she basically does, she has got Srila Prabhupada's lectures continuously playing, literally.
Even when she is sleeping, yeah. She told us that, yeah.
And she actually goes in and specifically picks a point what Prabhupada said, and she would open up Srimad Bhagavatam and read it. And then try and find out exactly what Prabhupada was trying to say, and please the translation perfect and everything, and actually make sense.
Yeah. Thank you. Alright. Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Guru Premanand.